Praise the Lord.
Amen. I tell you, it's wonderful. We thank God for what He's done for us. We just, I want to encourage the rest of our young people. I think tonight you're all going to be playing, aren't you? I thought that's what I understand anyhow. That's just kind of just putting it right on the spot, isn't it? But I'll tell you what, I so enjoy watching our young people play these instruments, sing these songs. I tell you, it just thrills my heart. And that, what we just heard on that piano was amazing. I'm blessed. And that's the way it is every time one of our children get up to sing. You know, we have these young boys that sing in this, what I call the Stevens Quartet. And I'll tell you what, I just kind of get overwhelmed sometimes. And it is wonderful. And I thank God for what He's done for us here, especially with our young people. What a thrill to be a pastor of a church with such a wonderful, wonderful young group of individuals that one day, prayerfully, and the Lord willing, will be standing in the place of the piano player, the song leader, the church deacons, the Sunday school teachers, maybe one day the pastor. That's what we are growing here. That's what we are growing in this body as a church, an upcoming church. Prayerfully, keep praying. The Lord continue to save our young people. Keep adding them to the body, and we keep seeing wonderful things. I'll tell you, I'm just blessed beyond measure. Just like what I was yesterday, I was absolutely just thrilled watching all these young people and young adults and young at heart going about this community, singing the songs that we sang yesterday, uplifting the name of a Savior who's come from glory. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about being filled with joy and peace, and I'm not going to go back to Matthew chapter 1 or chapter 2 of Luke or anything like that to begin our message today, although I will touch on these points in just a little while. I'm going to begin in Romans chapter 15, if you'd like to turn there. Romans in chapter 15. I'm going to be looking at one in particular scripture found in verse 13. While you're turning there, we'd like to welcome our radio audience. Once again, we're thankful that you've taken time today to tune in to WGOH to hear a portion of God's Word from the pulpit of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. That's down in Greenup County, out of Carter County. You can get to us by taking Route 1 or Route 7. We have a sign on either end of Laurel Road giving you directions and the mileage to the meeting house of God's people known as Emmanuel. And we're also thankful for the visitors we have in the parking lot. We thank the Lord for you. Pray God will bless you. The Lord might lift up your hearts today. I was talking to some folks yesterday who said they would be here. We're thankful that you're here. May God bless you is our prayer. Filled with joy and peace. Verse 13, Romans 15, the Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." Now, I want to stop there just for a moment. I want to stop there and I want you to see there is a key to this happening. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There's the key to a happy life, folks, is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That is the ultimate finding of the greatest treasure that humanity will ever know. We're going to be celebrating Christmas this coming week. As we do so, I want to remind the born again that we need to be celebrating the birth of Christ every day of our lives. We need to be thankful that God sent His Son from glory to be born of a virgin to live among us and to die for our sins. We need to be thankful every day that we wake up that God had a plan, a master plan, a plan of salvation. This was not something that He just conjured up in His mind. This was in the thought of God through eternity past. The Bible says that we have a key here to find real joy and peace in our lives. And it comes from the God of all hope, who says that you can receive this if only ye believe. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, A-double-L, all joy. This life in which we live now, is that not what we saw yesterday? People need more than anything is hope and joy and peace. And as I saw the smiles of individuals, as we would walk up to their porches and as we would stand in the yards and sing these wonderful songs, I saw joy begin to light up in their eyes again. There's hope out there, folks. What we see in this world today, they're not offering a whole lot of hope, but I'm telling you that God offers hope today. He offers hope, and we see what's going on I dare not get too political today, but I could real easy. But I'll say this. Even though in this world today the powers that be want to hold humanity down and anchor them to the ground, we serve a God whose hope brings joy and peace. The Bible again says, now the God of all hope, and I'll try to get through this here in a minute, this one verse of Scripture. Now the God of all hope fill you with all joy. Now, I'm going to have to back up. You know that, don't you? I put a word in there that didn't belong. It wasn't in the Bible. But this says here now. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. May God allow this verse of Scripture to sink into the hearts of all that are in this house today. For those out in the parking lot, for all those that listen around the whole world this very hour, may God fill you with that joy and peace. Amen. May that be that one thing that maybe you've come looking for something like that today. I'm telling you that God says you can have it. But it comes through believing. Amen. There's the key, folks. That is the key that unlocks all the treasure chest of God's bountiful blessings and the greatest gifts that He offers humanity. It's always found in that one word, believing. Do you believe today? Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, again, as we bow in Your presence, we do come thanking You for the day which You've given us. Father, I pray that this day might be a special day among the inhabitants of Thy Word. Lord, help us today to rejoice and to have the hope and joy and peace in our lives. Father, as we look out over this old world, there's not a lot of hope and joy that's being offered, and therefore there is no peace. But we know that according to Thy precious Word, we can have both joy and peace in the hope of God Almighty. Lord, I pray that You'll bless us today. May You save the lost. May You bless the saved. May all those who come in contact with Thy Word this hour be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, bless us today. Bless all those that we visited yesterday in song. Lord, I pray that their hearts are even now still rejoicing. We pray for the shut-in, for the sick, Lord, for the hurting. Father, I pray that you'll give them the joy and peace that their souls stand in great need of. Lord, bless this day. Forgive us our sin in Jesus Christ's name. And amen. Emmanuel, visiting friends and to our radio audience, this Lord's Day we bring the hope of joy and peace to all who sit under the bondage of the devil who is even now tormenting souls across this world. The devil's job is to rob you of all hope and any hope, depriving you of all your joy, plundering you of all and any peace. But today, God's Word offers to the believer that very thing, joy and peace. The Bible says, according to the book of Luke, that when Jesus Christ was born, it sprang forth a great deal of glad tidings of good things to come. Amen? That's what I want you to think about today. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go back and look at this in the book of Luke. In chapter 2, where here the Bible says, I'm not going to read the whole account of the birth of Christ, but I want you to hear enough that you also can hear with your ear the tidings of glad things to come. Now, get a hold of this. In verse 1 of Luke 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city." Now, there's the reason why we see Joseph and Mary begin to travel. The Bible says in verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. Hey, I want you to know today, this is what this pastor's telling you. Right now, this pastor who preaches unto you the unadulterated gospel message is telling you, listen, even though the world around wants you to be filled with fear, the powers that be want you to be filled with fear. They want you to totally rely upon them for everything, don't they? But God says here, through His Word, He says this, Fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. Amen. That's what we were singing about yesterday to all this community. That's what these young people had recorded here last week was these wonderful, wonderful tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. There, my friend, is what you need to believe. But even here among us today, I said in my study the other day, and I'm preparing this message again, going over it in my mind, I'm reminded there's somebody who wants to rob you of all joy and peace. There's a marauder gallivanting around who goes about with only one thing on his mind. That's the removal of all hope and joy and peace from the minds of would-be repentants. A marauder. That's kind of hard to say. I get my tongue tied sometimes. But it's somebody who wants to come in and take something that doesn't belong to them. Hope and peace and joy does not belong with the devil, folks. And as a matter of fact, he can never offer it. He can never fulfill the promise. But God can. This evader of hope and joy and peace is a sinister foe. Listen, the Bible calls him a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are warned to put on the whole armor of God, aren't we? Here the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, that's what you see in this world today. Amen. I've stated before, I believe this is the one reason why you need more than anything now, more than ever in any time, is people of faith. I'm talking people of real faith who will stand in the gap for people such as you and I. I'm talking about we need people in our government that is saved by the grace of God, who has the mind about them to understand right and wrong. We don't see that in government today. I'm sorry to say that. Don't get me wrong. There's people that are saved by the grace of God in our government. I know that. And I'm talking about people that will take a stand. Amen. But with all that being said, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Proverbs 28 and 15 says, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. Satan looks at you as a poor individual. And today he is like a ranging lion and a bear seeking whom he may devour. But God's Word offers hope and peace and joy. So friend, whether you realize it or not, Satan is ruling over you even now, and it's proven by your refusal to come unto Jesus for remission and pardon of sin. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, that there was a time when you are considered dead. Because when you're saved by the grace of God, the Bible says, and you hath He quickened, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. That's the way it is. That's the way it is if you're not saved by the grace of God. You're dead in trespasses and sins. But the Christmas message is joy and peace. And it comes to our ears this very hour. How are we to be filled with this joy and peace which leads us to be overwhelmed with the blessed hope? Well, first of all, and the simplest way that I could put this, and I've been doing this here of late with some individuals, is I am dealing with people that are not saved or what have you. It comes right down to it. You've got to receive that God's Word is God's Word. In Matthew chapter 13, we'll go back here for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 23. Of course, this is where by God's grace and His will we'll be tonight. in the study of the parables. The Bible speaks about that ground that really opens up and receives those seed. It's the good ground. In verse 23 it says, "But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word." Now hear that. Don't allow Satan to rob you of his word, of the word of the Lord today. I want you to hear what God's word is saying even now to you that are here. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word." You'll never be saved until first of all you've heard the word. Amen. You'll never come to an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ until first of all you have heard the word with your ears, with your spiritual ear. "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Again, we will, Lord willing, be studying this very thought tonight in our study of the parables. What is it to receive seed into the good ground? This is the kind of ground that's been pre-prepared by the gospel plow, by that which breaks up the fallow ground. Today, if you're sitting here lost and undone, the ground upon which your mind rose is fallow ground. It needs to be broken up with the gospel plow and the preaching of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul states in Romans 1:16 that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it was a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. There again, you have that key word, believeth. That, my friend, is the most powerful thing that you can get a hold of in order to receive joy and peace in your life. You've got to believe. You must believe. The Apostle Paul here in Romans 1:16 declares that the great necessity of the prepared ground is the groundwork being completed. In other words, you've got to hear the gospel message. What is the gospel message? According to 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says that it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing. That, my friend, is the gospel. For God so loved the world, as Brother Jim said this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's the greatest gift humanity can ever receive. Is the gift that Brother Rick Evans spoke of this morning. The gift of the Son of God. That whosoever believeth, there again is the key word, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, said the Apostle Paul. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, that is the promise that brings hope and joy and peace. Proverbs in chapter 11. I was reminded again the other day as I was going over this message. The Bible says the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. What is the fruit of righteousness? It is salvation. Do you own salvation today? Has it brought about in your heart a desire? Proverbs chapter 15. The Bible says in verse 31, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Listen, it's a wise thing today if you hear the Word of God. "But he that refuses instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." my friend, today, receive the gospel message as truth. It is the foundation of salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, now hear this, that whosoever believeth in Him may have everlasting life. Do you believe today? That's what it means to receive God's Word. Secondly, is that you must believe His Word. This comes down to a trust issue. There are people today who struggle over trusting God's Word. They come to the conclusion by saying, well, men wrote the Bible. Well, men who were inspired of God wrote the Bible. And the inspiration of the Bible is the very breath of God. It was His breath. His very act of speaking, which breath penetrated the ears and hearts of individuals. God's Word is true. There's nothing about God's Word that you cannot trust. God's Word is trustworthy and is there for all who want joy and peace in their lives right now. This book that I have here today, this is the book of hope. This puts into the heart of individuals a lively hope. This book is what brings about faith. Romans in chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That, my friend, is truth. And that's what you need to get a hold of today. You need to, first of all, receive God's Word. Then you must believe God's Word. As I said, this comes right down to a trust issue. Do you really trust what the Bible says? Do you trust the very promises of God? And I know that there are those today in our society who do not trust God's Word. Well, I'm here to tell you, you'll never find joy and peace if you don't trust God's Word. God's Word is trustworthy. In order for one to ever find true joy and peace with the hope both of the hope that God brings, you not only must hear the Word, but you must believe His Word. Now, go with me to 2 Thessalonians for just a moment. I must have gotten a big way of thinking and writing at the same time in my Bible, and I got some words backwards here. I may be like that, you know. I may put things backwards sometimes. But this one thing I know, I can trust God's Word. We must believe God's Word. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, the Bible says, beginning at verse 13 down through verse 17, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. You know, that's where it comes right down to the fact that, listen, this is God's Word. This is where you've been taught all your life. You've been taught in the Baptist faith. You've been taught in the Word of God. And God's Word says here, listen, don't you get rid of that. The Bible speaks, and I heard this mentioned the other day. I think my wife was talking to somebody about buying the truth and selling it not. Listen, get a hold of the truth of the Word of God and don't lose it. Stay hold of it. Keep a hold of it, folks. Keep a hold of it. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts. Amen. Is that not what this world needs today? This world needs the hearts comforted today. Listen, I want everybody to know that went with us yesterday. You comforted some hearts yesterday just with the verbiage of your voice. Singing about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Singing about His birth and resurrection. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and deed. Or every good word and work, I'm sorry. This is the fruit of belief. You need this lasting hope. This pertains to life and goodness. God cannot nor will not lie. You can count on His word. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. Hebrews 6:18 speaks of it. So it comes down to this thought. Do you believe? What was Thomas told when he saw Jesus for his first time? You know, even as he stood there looking into the very eyes of his Savior, the Lord had to grab a hold of him and say, "Now come on and touch me. It's me." And then the Lord explained, "Blessed are they who have not seen, who have not touched, and yet believe." Amen. Folks, blessed are you who are saved by the grace of God today. Joy and peace fills the heart of the redeemed. And that's what you need today if you're not saved by the grace of God. You need that joy and that peace that permeates real salvation. Is He calling for you today to believe? You can believe His word today. Trust it for salvation's sake. Trust it for your own sake today. Trust and obey. Now thirdly, and lastly today, you must receive God's word. Listen. This is where hope dispels doubt. Amen. This is the difference between faith and unbelief. You either believe or you don't. There's no middle ground here. Salvation is just like that. There's no middle ground. You either believe or you don't. You either trust or you have distrust. It's kind of hard to have both at the same time, folks. If you believe, all things are possible. Amen. You must receive God's Word. In Proverbs 10:28, the Bible says, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness." So when you receive God's Word in your heart, you will be filled with gladness. And you know, today, I think the latest one that we have seen saved by the grace of God is Sister Cassie. And there has to have been a relief, a feeling of overwhelming peace finally settles in. And every one of you that's been saved by the grace of God have experienced that, haven't you? It has never changed since the days of Christ. When you receive God's Word in your heart, you will be filled with gladness. What was John 1:11-12 about? The Bible speaks about the fact that Jesus came to His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Do you believe today? That is where everything changes. And I've said this, I've stated this time and again. Everything hinges on believing. You will never be saved by the grace of God until you, first of all, believe that Jesus Christ came and died for you on the cross of Calvary. This is what it means to receive the Word of God. Do you believe today? You know, in John chapter 12, the Bible states something in verse 48 I want you to get a hold of. Because you're in one of two different boats today. You're either in a lifeboat that has all of its safety measures in it, or you're in a boat that has no bottom. That's a scary place to be. I don't know if any of you guys have ever done this or not, but I remember one day me and a brother-in-law was putting a boat in the lake, and we jumped in it and we started to take off, and all of a sudden I realized there was no plug there. That's not a good thing to have, you know what I mean? That's not a good place to be when you're out in the lake and all of a sudden you realize, hey, there's water coming on. We'll look at that and we'll laugh about that. But when it has to do with your soul, you're in a boat that's taking on water. And there's no life vest around. It becomes a very serious matter, does it not? But there is a life vest. There is a lifeboat that's being launched out and it has all the safety precautions. And anyone who goes to that lifeboat's going to be saved. I used to love to sing that old song, the old ship of Zion. Folks, I want you to know something. The old ship of Zion is sailing by today. And has all the benefits of life-preserving artifacts upon it, whatever you want to call it. And has everything that you need today. Is that the old ship of Zion that's coming by your way right now? It is the old ship of Zion. And that ship is sailing by this very hour. And the gospel word is coming forth. I go back. I'm not exactly sure how much time I have left, but I want you to think about this in verse 44 of John 12. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me and believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words," hey, do you hear the sounding of the bell in the harbor? You oftentimes, out on those large buoys that would mark the shoals, the rocks, upon that large buoy would be a large bell, and you would hear that bell ringing. There's danger ahead. Folks, the bell's ringing today. There's danger ahead if you don't believe. Is that the old ship of Zion that I hear? Listen today. He says, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Listen today, I'm coming down right to an end here. And I turn to 1 Peter in chapter 1. 1 Peter in chapter 1. I have just enough time to finish my point here. So bear with me and listen to what God's Word says. In 1 Peter in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're in. Here's some of that joy, folks. The Bible says ye greatly rejoice. And though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, which comes through every life, that your trial of faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you seem not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Folks, that's what I want to see for lost sinners here today. I want you to receive the real Christmas message is that Jesus Christ came from glory. He died, was buried, and rose again the third day that you might have joy and peace. And that the hope that resides in your heart will be a lively hope. So today I say this. Receive God's hope. Receive God's joy. Receive God's peace today simply by trusting and obeying. Amen. I go back in my closing statement to Romans 15 again. Here, the Bible says in verse 13, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Are you saved by the grace of God today? Do you know Him personally? The greatest gift that will ever be offered you. You know, we all have different degrees of what a great gift is. I know that. I mean, everybody thinks about those things. A lady may think that a diamond is the greatest gift she'll ever receive. I'm talking about tangible things. A man, I don't know, maybe a good gun or something to work with, make your job a little easier. Those things are nothing as far as salvation is concerned. That's the greatest gift you'll ever receive with Jesus Christ. Jesus and Him crucified. Do you know Him today? Has that peace and joy just, has it bubbled up in your soul? Don't let it go. I know through manifold temptations, the Bible says here that sometimes we are often burdened down. But go back to when that joy and peace first bubbled over in you. Go back to that time, then rehearse the joy and peace that hope brought. Hope. Yes, that's what the world needs today, isn't it? Hope. That's what our churches need today. They need to hear and see hope in action. That's what our communities need. That's what they witnessed of Emmanuel yesterday, I do believe. Hope and joy in action. May God bless you is our prayer. And may God save the lost around us. Let's all stand, please. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear Lord, as we bow in Your presence today, we do come thanking You so much for the blessed truth that brings about real peace and joy and change. Lord, I thank You for the hope that You offer to all who will believe and come unto Thee. And Father, I pray for that very happening in this house today. May this house be overwhelmed with salvation. May Your Holy Spirit overshadow this building today, that we might see lost souls saved by Your grace. Lord, I pray that You'll bless this congregation, bless all those around the world who are listening by way of CD or sermon audio or whatever it may be by way of radio. Lord, bless them. May this be a time of great, great joy and peace in their lives. But help individuals to realize it only comes to the believer. Lord, bless today's service, I pray. Watch over us. Save souls and save lives. And Father, forgive us our sin in Christ's name. And amen.